Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 240, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Monday, June 6th, 2022. June 6th was D-Day. June 6th is also National Drive-In Movie Day, which always time to celebrate drive-in movies. You know, just don't see a Christopher Nolan movie since you won't be able to hear what's happening. But good, great family activity is a nice, you know, children's movie, simple, easy to follow, in the car. Highly recommend if you have one around you. Also, National Gardening Exercise Day, which I think falls in the genre of days created by and for the elderly. Like, yeah, gardening is exercise too. Most importantly,
have you gardened recently? Okay, I just want to say a lot of effort, lots of hoeing.
You know what? Yeah,
things are no, it's work. It's work.
I didn't realize. I guess I didn't realize that it was like fighting for recognition as exercise. Is probably like seems like in my experience, gardening is the amount of exercise that it seems like it would be. But that's I'm happy it has a day, and I'm happy we're celebrating it. Also, importantly, at the end of last week, Mercury was officially out of retrograde. This is the sort of thing that, now that I've been in LA for a dozen years, I know what that means. And I have to say, this is the first like astrological event I've been aware of as it was happening. Everything has always hit my brain as just and just bounced off. And this time I was like, man, they might be onto something. What the fuck is happening? What is happening with everybody I know? Mercury in retrograde is supposed to be about, you know, lack of communication, everybody being misunderstanding and misunderstood. And I feel like I was seeing a lot of that. And now everything's just going to iron itself out, right?
Listen, the technical difficulties were in abundance. Hopefully you took a minute to reflect. You're not supposed to do anything during Mercury. You're not supposed to be manifesting. Don't plan no trips. Don't get excited for shit. You just sit down, you reflect on your life for 3 weeks, And then when it's out, hopefully you learned a lesson from whatever hard bullshit you had to go through. And now you're on the other side of that lesson and you can make better choices. And hopefully the pathways of communication are much clearer. So now you're, your skies are clear, y'all. You're better off to move forward now.
I can once again manifest, finally. I was like holding my breath, not manifesting. I know you were. For a little bit. You could
itching
tell.
To write on you that whiteboard. It. Yeah, no, yes. You had goals and you were like, let me just reflect for a minute before I really set that intention. I get it.
Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Cold Brew, M.D., and we're talking coal gas stoves on tea, DZ. I'm O'Brien Potatoes, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. That is courtesy of Discord Zeitgang, Fighter of the Nightman, to the man who sold the world, which they credited to Nirvana, which, yeah, let's go with it. I think it was a remake of a Bowie song, but that is the version that I was familiar with. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined by a very special guest co-host, the producer behind shows like Fake Doctors, Real Friends. Welcome to our show. You've heard her on Pop Culture Happy Hour, read her at Vulture, the AV Club, Team Vogue, Pace, many more. She's the host and executive producer of the Comic-Con Metapod. It's the brilliant and talented Joelle Monique!
Hello! I'm back. They let me out of the cage. I'm really excited. So many fun things to talk about. Are you watching Obi-Wan Kenobi, Jack?
I'm not, but I want to.
Jack, okay. At the end, I'll do a very short tirade on why you need to be watching Obi-Wan Kenobi. But not with your children.
I am in. And not with my children?
Do not watch with your children. They're not prepared. A man, listen, without giving anything away, a man is halved. He's halved.
Halved. All right.
It's very dramatic.
My kids will be so into that, but they also shouldn't be. We're trying to discourage that. Anyways, Joelle, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny comedian who writes for Nickelodeon's That Girl Lele, NPR's Ask Me Another, The New York Times, The New Yorker, Bravo, Glamour. Very, fucking hosting this show with some literary heavyweights. She hosts the podcast Comedians with Ghost Stories, authored a book of uplifting and funny trivia, One Day Smarter. Please welcome the hilarious, the talented Emily Winter!
Oh, thank you so much! What's up? That was beautiful. Hey, can I just gotta say, okay, so whoever sent you the AKA... Nirvana's cover of A Man Who Sold the World is from their Unplugged, their MTV Unplugged, and it was very, very good. I think the first time I heard it, I was like, oh yeah, that's a Nirvana song, and then I had to become educated about Bowie's. But yeah, so I felt like I related.
I felt a little bit ashamed. And by the way, when you said it was very, very good, you were talking about my AK, of course. We don't even need to, the vocal performance, the vocal stylings. I've always felt a little bit ashamed that my favorite Nirvana album is The Unplugged. I feel like that makes me like a whack Nirvana fan.
No, but boo.
It is truly like just top to bottom bangers. And like his vocal performance is the best live vocal performance I've ever heard. Just completely nails every... And apparently like really, you know, the people who produced the show were like, he was not fucking around. Like the amount of work that he put in to each one of those songs and the preparations and the arrangements, and you hear it all. It's a great album. Highly recommend if you haven't heard it, but I feel like it is probably the number one cause of all those Nirvana shirts in the streets these days.
I think it's just that you can use the logo for free now or something. It's like run out. You know what I mean? Like you can just throw it on anything. Yeah. But dude, that album. And yeah, you were saying all the vocal, the arrangements, blah, blah, blah. I listened to that. I was like, oh, that's hot. That's hot. That's all I knew. I was a kid. I was like, that man is hot. That is sexy.
Yes.
Rocking a cardigan, sipping on tea.
Mm-hmm. Between Something in the Way and Where Did You Sleep Last Night, you'll have like an actual transformation as an individual. You'll be like, oh, I didn't know 80-year-old man pain could live in a 20-year-old body. That's that attractive. It's confusing and delightful and then very dark, but also you're like my soul. It's kind of a perfect album.
Yeah, and it was the last thing he did, sadly. All right, well, that's a happy note to end the intro on, Emily.
What happened to him?
Oh, no.
Wait, what happened?
Oh, no.
I was just about to Google, like, what's he up to? Has he dropped anything? Like, does he have a mixtape coming out? All right, Emily, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about, you know, I Googled what really causes inflation? Because I wanted to see if anybody was talking about the real cause. There's also this article about oil executives cashing out, like selling off their stock because they're like, we just got away with like almost literal murder. And so I wanted to see if anybody was like connecting the two, and they're not. So we're going to talk about that. And then it's going to be just a lighthearted show, I think, from that point forward. We're going to talk about Netflix's attempts to crack down on password sharing. Maybe that's not that lighthearted. That kind of hurts. And it's like just bureaucratic. It seems like what they were doing was trying to make a large bureaucratic decision and operation while Mercury was in retrograde. Mm-hmm. And they should have talked to my good friend, Joelle Monique. But before any of it, Emily, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay, so yesterday I was having a fight with my writing partner over the longest word in the English language. And he thought, as we all did apparently when we were in grade school, did you guys think this, that the longest word in the English language was anti-disestablishmentarianism?
Yes, definitely have heard that.
Oh, I thought it was a Hawaiian fish. I thought there was a Hawaiian fish that had the longest name. That was the one that I always heard.
Do you remember what it was?
No. No, I don't have that kind of brain.
Joelle, where'd you grow up?
Illinois.
Oh, me too. Okay, maybe it was in Illinois. But my writing partner's from Oregon. So I don't know, man. Like, apparently this was from Illinois to Oregon. We thought it was anti-disestablishmentarianism. It's not. And it's not a Hawaiian fish.
What is it?
It's a supposed lung disease, which I don't know what that means, okay. But we'll just go with lung disease. And it's 45 letters long.
Whoa.
And it's nomonolotromicroscopic silicococcioniosis. Yes.
Oh, yeah, coniosis. Yeah. I know that word.
You know that word?
Oh, stop. I use it conversationally. nomonolotromicroscopic. Silicovolcanogenesis. Yeah.
You did a good job.
Rolls off the tongue. That one is, I guess I'll give it to them. Maybe they just had to keep like fitting shit in as they like learned more about the lung disease. Is that what we're going to assume how that monstrosity happened?
Oh, right. Like they're like, oh no, we got to put the fraggle in because now we know that it morphs.
I mean, there's a volcano in the middle of that word for no apparent reason.
That's for fun. That's somebody was, having a hard
day. Literally showing off that day. I feel like medical dictionaries need not apply. We get it. You're smart and you're using a lot of Greek and Latin, and that's very cool. Anti-disestablishmentarianism is a word I might use. I feel like that is going to reign supreme. And then like as an addendum, we'll be like, but don't look at medical dictionaries because they'll say other things.
Fair. There is one that's longer that is not medical. And it's 29 letters. And I'm gonna butcher it. It means the estimation of something as worthless. So basically it means worthless. So you could just say worthless, but it's I'm going to try one more time. Floxinosinhilipilification.
I mean, that's pretty good. Yeah.
That's great.
And that one is just specifically
it means
made
worthless.
For snobs, right? To like for snobs to have an even more annoying way to call something, like to diss something.
I thought I've met every enough snobby people, but I've never heard that used. So I guess I still have higher mountains to climb as far as jerks
snobbery.
That I've met.
Yeah. Of meeting the worst people in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I watched that movie last night. Very good. Worst person in the world. Highly recommend. That's how my brain works. It doesn't remember things like long words. It just pops in with movie facts in terms of when I've watched a movie. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. Overrated. And I don't know if this is a current trend or if it's just a California trend because I just moved to California, but cocktails on tap. Mm. Oh, horrible. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I would say like the, what they call those beer-rita things in a can like that, like where it's a pre-mixed.
No. So those are cheap and I can abide. what I am talking about are like, you go to a bar. Okay, this has happened like 5 times since I've been here. I go to a bar and I say, I want a mixed drink. And then they go to what looks like would be a beer tap, but it's cocktails. And they are so sweet and so disgusting. And I'm like, just, I'm paying $15 for this cocktail. Just make me a friggin' cocktail. Okay, Becca's sick. She hates them. Yes. Okay.
So producer Becca Ramos in Brooklyn, I am shocked that they have an annoying, expensive, snobby drink there.
But I just moved from Brooklyn. I didn't see them there. But maybe it's a trend right now. And I just, they're way too sweet. They're way too lazy. I am off it. Totally.
So like if you order a Manhattan, it's like in a, it's in like a pre-made batch of Manhattans. And then they just pull over. No. Listen, why am I paying all this money for mixologists? What happened to that generation of deliciousness where they were like, we've got pine needles and a flame and you're going to love it. It's going to be magnificent. I used to get a show when I went to a bar. Pre-pour, I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. I want a
show.
Are
they coming out of a keg of Manhattan?
Yeah.
Like, what? What?
Yeah. Oh, it's tragic. It's, and apparently it's happening not just in California. So watch out, people. But I did, I recently, I was at a bar last week and I said, I'm so sorry, but those things are disgusting. And the guy said, I know. The bartender said, I know. And I was like, can you make me a real drink? So if you ask and try to have like a moment with your bartender, you might be able to get out of it. But it's a trend that I'm very sad about.
And he solemnly missed you a drink, mixed you a drink, and then was fired immediately. Like, no! It is not. You're wasting your time. That is considered time off task, which is a term we learned in our last episode, which is how Amazon defines any time you spend talking to a coworker.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. They have like trackers on you. And if you, and then at the end of the day, okay, you logged 1 hour of time off task. Explain what you were doing from 1100 hours to 1109.
There's nothing worse than minimum wage. There's, because they really do feel like they own you. That is what, that's like when they're like, do not use the bathroom after you've just clocked in. Sir, I just spent an hour and a half getting here. Okay. I'm going to use the restroom on the clock. Please leave me the hell alone. What are you talking about? People are terrible. That's awful. They're not, just hire the robots already. Like we can't be robots. We're people.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I mean, I wish I could save all my poops for work, but, you know, bodies don't work that way. Like, we're not holding it, you know?
Save all your poops for work. That, as a mild form of protest against the machine. Let's all just save all our poops for work.
If you're pooping at home, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated? Fritos. I feel like I've been going to a lot of outdoor activities, beach stuff, park stuff, and you get that big variety pack and no one ever goes for the Fritos. And just like I always pick the yellow game piece when I'm playing board games because no one picks it, I just take it to be like, fine. And I realized recently that I actually love Fritos and I don't get why they aren't as popular as Doritos.
Okay. So let's talk about it. Why are Fritos not as popular as Doritos? We're talking about just the straightforward thick corn that are the size of fingernails. Is that the
overgrown fingernail chips? Yeah, the fingernail chips. Great
way
to sell
their branding, and that's exactly why they're not doing well.
That's kind of how, like, I think that's part of the problem. I think Doritos have the flavor dusting, which I think is delightful. Fritos, of course, are not going to get your fingers all stained and gross and make it hard to get away with a crime. But I think more, most importantly, is they're too small for dipping. Like I think there are Fritos that are a little bit bigger and maybe original Fritos were bigger, but they have shrunk them down to a size that they're a plain corn chip that is too small for dipping. And that is my primary purpose when I'm purchasing, picking up, and using a plain corn chip.
But you're not dipping Doritos.
Oh.
you dip Doritos?
Yeah, I dip.
Joelle, are you okay with this?
Okay, here's a stunner. I don't like either. if I was going to say what the issue was, I, instead of looking at the product, because I haven't tasted either, or haven't in a very long time, I would say it's branding. Doritos really went for the children. An essential part of a child's youth is like Doritos. Like they had the cool 90s logos and they got like the holographic like front portion of the bag. It's like blue and bright colors. I really think they were like, we're going to be the child's chip. And Fritos was like, adults love us and that's good enough. They have purchasing power. But now the children have become adults and they prefer Doritos and their many flavors. But I come from, like, we're from Illinois, Emily, and the land of the walking taco, where you would like cut a Fritos bag open. But now I'm seeing people do it with Doritos. So I really do. I feel you that the tide is changing. And I think it's Doritos has come out superior.
Ooh, I do remember when I lived in New York, Frito pie was the thing. And it was just chili dumped into a bag of Fritos.
It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, that's
mixed bag
great.
Of browned meat.
That's great. And that, but now that you mention it, that does sound better with Doritos. I actually do like to use a nacho cheese Dorito with my favorite salsa. Green Mountain Gringo medium is my favorite salsa. And I think they pair delightfully. So
it's like a pico based. It's green. Is it like avocados? What's happening in there?
No. The name of the company is Green Mountain,
uh-huh.
I think. It's just a nice tomato salsa with chunks of tomato, kind of vinegary. Not everybody's as into it as me. That is just my personal favorite salsa.
But then the dust on the Dorito gets all wet. Like soggy dust is yucky. No?
I know you're right, but people love it. It's like when Van Leeuwen's made their like Velveeta mac and cheese ice cream. Mm. I think it was Velveeta, or was it Kraft? It was Kraft. Kraft mac and cheese ice cream. And it was just all the powdered shit that you put on in the macaroni when it's cooking. They're like, what if we just put that in ice cream? And people were like, God, yes, injected into my veins. I don't understand why we're into powdered foods
when
we have perfectly good actual
cheese. Don't
associate
me with that. That is an abomination. It is definitely messier. Get your fingers all orange while you're doing the salsa Dorito combination. It's still, it like, the rub is worth it for me. You know, having the Dorito rub on my fingers is worth it for me.
And on your pants.
Yeah.
That's right. I assume everyone starts just wiping their finger like, oh, can't get it off. Pants. No, my pants are orange and tinted.
Yeah.
I respect it, but I don't like it. In the same way that, like, a Doritos now has what, the Doritos taco at Taco Bell?
Oh
Jack.
That.
Oh, no. Wait, I was going to say, this is your corner of the universe.
I do love it. I think
delicious.
I think it was great. People loved it when it first came out. Now people are kind of backing off. I haven't had it in a while, so maybe they like changed it and like kind of cheaped it up a little bit. But
I have to give us an updated report on how good the taco is. It can't be good.
It's dusty. When you're holding it, it's dusty.
The taco is dusty. They give you a nice sleeve, which is helpful. You know, it is helpful with all hard shell tacos. But in particular, this one, it's a mess. It's definitely a mess. I feel you on like them being preferable. I love a corn chip, but I want to be able to dip a corn chip. And Fritos feel too small to get a chunky salsa dip going, personally.
Fair. And I think I did do a misstep in comparing and saying it has to be Fritos or Doritos, because I do enjoy a Dorito, not dipped, but Fritos, they got a little kick to them, man. I know we got like three Midwesterners here, and maybe that's just the Midwest talking. I'm like, ooh, this mayo's spicy. I feel like Fritos got a little more flavor than you think or something. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, wow, you're really self-contained magic here. I got clean fingers. Anyway.
I like to use Miracle Whip on someone's sandwich and like waggle my eyebrows a little bit. Like, huh? We're going crazy. So we're
really putting in work now.
We're going off the map today. Get ready for a little tang. Yeah. Spent a lot of my life in the Midwest, and I'm a fan of all of these things. They also have like the chili Fritos, which are, I go back and forth
Fritos,
on those.
Right?
Chili powder dusted Fritos. You need to have them in the right situation. They're a situational snack chip, I feel like.
I like a classic blue corn chip. That's where I'm at.
Mm.
Oh, fancy.
Some peach salsa.
Mm-hmm.
Not like grand specific.
Okay.
Is it kind of sweet and kind of tangy? Then perfect. That's like a dream snacks.
Dream snacks. Is that a good name of a podcast? All right. Cut that. We're going to green light that during the ad break and we'll come back and maybe that'll just be what this show is. All right. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back. And we talked at the end of last week that, like, you know, that there is a genre of article that's like, wow, come on, man, why can't Biden catch a break? That is just everywhere in the news. And the one Biden problem that mainstream news outlets seem to agree on is that inflation is bad and it was caused by giving people money during the pandemic. Like, that seems to be what everybody's just settled with. The decision to send money to Americans during a global pandemic, and now we're all paying the price. Except that's like not like most of the people who are like sending that messaging out are corporations and like libertarian publications. And then when you look at the actual like events that are happening, the things that are being done by the people who have the power in our country, which is the corporations, like I do feel like oil executives have as much, if not more power than the president, as this story evidences. They are, what they've done is they've raised the prices because they like money. Seems to be like that. That seems to be the cause of at least inflation on gas prices. And you know, we've all just bought the story that no, well, it's the war and it's we have too much money We're sorry, sir. We have too much money from these stimulus payments. And so this article caught my eye in the context of that. They say gas prices, this is in Yahoo, which is my only source of news. I just go to Yahoo and I'm like, they got me covered. They said gas prices have skyrocketed to record highs, forcing some families to choose between filling their tank, putting food on the table. But for the oil execs whose stock holdings have soared, these are happy days. Some of them are cashing in their shares at unusually high rates. Among four senior executives at PBF Energy, they have sold $9 million worth of stock. We've also got Chevron, the EVP, James Johnson, has sold more than $56 million in stock so far this year, which what are they just like backing out because, you know, everything's so bad? Actually, no, things are really good. Chevron's net income more than quadrupled compared to the same period the prior year. That is not something that happens in like for companies just in general. Quadrupling your net income. And this is when like prices have risen and everybody is blaming like greedy government or circumstances or us being sent those checks for $2,000. Like that is essentially what I feel like the public consciousness has settled on. Like when you Google what's the real cause of inflation, you just get an endless list of like people being like government greed caused inflation for the record. And, you know, articles from Reason magazine with Joe Biden, like looking very stupid, like just the worst picture they could find on Getty. Politicians cause real pain with inflationary policies. And it's like, well, corporations have just realized they can raise prices without, like, that is the one policy that I think is causing this, is that there is no pushback. There's no regulation on massive corporations. They have all the say. And what they say is like you guys, I know you guys like money. I know it's useful to you guys, but like we really like money. And so we're going to take yours, is essentially what is happening.
Yeah, I think the American idealism of self-sufficiency has started to impact us in such a negative way that we actually have to confront it at this point. This, in the same way that like we saw with the formula shortage, just breastfeed your baby then. Like, okay, yeah. Let me tell you how things work on this side of reality. Like, not every mom can breastfeed. Not every baby has a mother in their life currently. Some people are being raised by two fathers. Like, there are a bajillion reasons why people cannot breastfeed. And, like, babies need food. And they're like, oh, well, you should have thought of that ahead of time, as if this is somehow some moral failing. In the same way that, you know, if an unprecedented pandemic hits and our government decides to try to help sustain its population through it, suddenly that's become a negative. And they gave us so little money, so little. And that very little bit made a huge difference in a lot of people's lives, right? Like that, for some people, that was a ton of money that they were able to make important shifts and decisions about their lives. And so the idea that somehow helping a corporation could ever be better or a better use of finances than giving directly to the people, I just can't wrap my head around it. Like, I think about this a lot, like it's in my idle time of like, why don't we want to help the individual people that make up our entire society as opposed to corporations that show no need, you know? As I know we're going to talk about Netflix later, but you know, Netflix just fired all of the it brought in. They were like, sorry, it got a little scary. So we have to let all these people that we forced to move across the country, you know, to help build our brands and speak to the people we're hoping to engage with our content, we have to fire you now. And hopefully you'll enjoy the like very basic, mundane stuff that we make from now on, because we're going to stick with what's safe. I don't understand. I can't wrap my mind around it.
Yeah. The broader industry uptick is fueled in part by surging demand, which I don't know how, like, surging from what? Like we weren't
driving at all.
It's pretty, yeah. I feel like demand's been pretty steady. Like the fact that the pandemic is slowing down, so it's surging back to the previous levels. inflation, which, as we just mentioned, is them raising prices so that they have record profits at the level of quadrupling year over year, and the war in Ukraine. Like, those are the things that are good for their business. So I don't know. If I didn't know any better, I'd say we're not all in this together, as the BP commercial said during the pandemic. I'd say the executives benefit when they make us pay more, and they benefit when there is a war on, and that's probably not great because they're the most powerful people in the country, up to and possibly including the president. Like, that's why Biden sounds like, why we're in a new era where the president comes on and is like, man, like, I don't know, would you do something? And it's like, I thought you were the president, but it's like, yeah, the president doesn't really have the ability to do anything anymore because corporations make, like, you can't upset the corporations.
I love, we're all in this together, as a commercial during the pandemic when no one was driving. It's like, please, please, I need some help.
We miss you. Yeah, it's an abusive relationship. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. It's like, I need you. I love you. We want you. You're our heroes. And then, yeah. But like that, even there's a New York Times. So I was doing this kind of as an experiment, the search for the real cause of inflation on Google. 10 articles down, there is a New York Times opinion piece from a Democratic leader that calls for the government to, like, you know, preemptively buy goods, distribute them on a need basis to deal with inflation. But he has to, like, specifically say his plan avoids violating market dynamics. He doesn't once mention the idea that executives using the narrative of inflation to raise prices and make more money just arbitrarily than ever before, like, that those are causes. Like, you just aren't allowed to say that. And yeah, I mean, Joel, you said you've been thinking about this a lot. I feel like everybody's been thinking about this a lot, and it kind of makes you feel crazy when you see, like, very clearly what's going on, and, like, nobody is allowed to say it. It's,
I think that's why you're seeing a surge in unions. Like, there's,
yeah,
I really feel like there is a strong workers movement launching that is saying, you know, if our government can't protect us, and if these mega corporations we work for have no interest in protecting us physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, then we're going to have to set up parameters so that these things can happen ourselves. And it's been interesting to see the amount of money corporations are willing to spend to not give what would probably be considerably a lot less money just to meet demands. Over the long, like, I can't remember the dollar amount Amazon spent trying to crush their union force, but I was like, you could have just given that to the workers and they probably would have been thrilled. They probably would have been like, amazing. Right. Thank you. We'll leave you alone now. So I don't know. I'm excited as we see more and more corporations start to have to answer to their employees. Maybe there's some hope in that direction, but I do think we also need to see that kind of reform, deep reform within our government, because this system is not working. And, like, not to get too heavy into everything, but, like, what these judges are trying to pull right now, these Supreme Court judges, is, oh, it's so scary. It's really frightening.
Yeah. And like, the, you know, in the midterm primaries, we are also seeing that, like, the very mainstream, like, when it's sort of a choice between kind of equally funded candidates and there is the mainstream Democratic option, like Connor Lamb, and then, like, somebody who just, like, has some of the same opinions as Bernie Sanders, like John Fetterman, like, the people want they mm-hmm. see what's going on. Like, people see it. And, like, just because you're, like, the mainstream Democratic Party is not saying it, it doesn't mean, like, they're going to go elsewhere. It's just a matter of whether they're going to go with the fascists or whether, like, we're going to have a option that is a less, like, corporate and market controlled democratic option. I'm not hopeful now. It's going to have to get a lot worse for the Democratic Party before it gets better. But
for us as a people, we live for comfort. I certainly do. And, you know, there's a lot of comfort being brought by a lot of evil corporations making life day to day easier.
Right.
Until we can divest, deinvest.
Ooh. Yeah. I think divest. There you go. Right.
Okay. Perfect.
That's how I've always used that word. Doesn't mean it's correct.
dictionary folks will correct me, and I appreciate it in advance. But until we can divest from systems like that, I think that we're going to continue to be stuck in sort of this push and pull situation, and it's hard to divest. So,
actually, the correct word is 43 letters long.
I feel like we're all little mini Bidens in here, because it's like, we're between a rock and a hard place. We're in a capitalist system, and we're making it work by saying like, oh, Amazon sucks. And then like, I'm going to buy my little Snuggie on Amazon. And, and I feel like we're like stalled, right? Because we can't change our lives that quickly because we don't know how, and it's confusing. And so is he, you know, like he can't be like, I'm not a capitalist anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he can't just do that one day. I mean,
he just got to gay and women's rights. Like, he's like, it will slow down. It's happening very fast. Yeah. I would see that as a people, at least from my point of view in LA, like, it seems we're in a transitional period. You know, we're seeing a lot of what we saw. And I would say like the early 70s and mid 80s, where you're seeing like a lot of white flight from cities, but also at the same time, like a lot of gentrifications of old places, and a lot of places that haven't gotten the same kind of attention to detail are starting to fall further off. I think we're seeing a rising in workers' rights, but we're also seeing a shift in like how do we get more into like mutual aids and mutual funds and supporting our communities. And so I feel like I say every time I'm on here, but like investing in mutual aids and into your community and figuring out how you can get involved on that level, I think is a small amount of change that, like, we're all just people with very busy lives and children and stuff. And we all don't have time to be heroes or don't want to be. And I don't think everyone should have to be called upon to be like the biggest and best person they can be every single day. That's exhausting. But I do think that a lot of folks are trying to make small incremental changes to make a larger change. And I have hope in that, even though it's incredibly slow. I have hope that if we can do that, then maybe things will get a little better.
Yeah. Capitalism never sleeps, man. It is really...
What a beast. What a monster.
But yeah. I do like have some hope that once people recognize that like there needs to be some other way, that we're not all just gonna tuck into a nice, like, you know, two decades of fascism like we did in the 80s. But we'll see. Depends on how good the Top Gun movies are,
you know? Oh god,
did you see it, by the way, Joel?
Of course I did.
And it's fun, right?
It's so much fun. Yeah. It's terrible how much fun it is for like six different reasons. And I was like, I really wanted to be able to walk out and be like, no, awful. But you really feel like you're flying in a jet, man. And we saw it on IMAX with a surround sound. My seat was rumbling. And I was like, yes. And then they make the very smart move of not making the villain anyone. They're like, nondescript location. Everyone in masks. There's some ocean and some mountains. Where could we be? We don't know. But they're evil and we got to win. And I was like, yeah, I see it and I'm enjoying it. And I can really get out of the headspace of like, who are they telling us is evil? Because technically no one, maybe everyone. But it's so much fun. It is a really well-constructed movie that I just hope people remember is not an accurate depiction of war or what that system of military is like. Talk to some real Navy people. Don't let it recruit you guys. It's just a movie is what I say to the young people.
Yeah. Or what women in their 50s should look like. Oh, okay.
She's so pretty, though.
I know.
Really, she really kept it together. Yeah, it is a good movie, though. Sad to say.
Don't talk to the guy in the Navy uniform next to the popcorn. Just
don't. Don't.
They are legit doing that. They're sending recruiters to movie theaters.
They're not going to miss an opportunity.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about bullshit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back. So Netflix has promised investors that they're done fucking around with these customers. They're coming for our password sharing. More than 30 million U.S. and Canadian households are using a shared password.
Sure are.
Seems like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that they're doing in Peru where they're like, so they've decided, all right, we're going to test out some of the like password sharing police tactics in some small markets so that we can abuse people and not get like the backlash.
Sure.
So they've tried it in Peru, and the way they're doing it is if you have somebody outside of your household using your same account, they will add $2 a month to your account. So I mean, that would be 60 million if 30 million people in the US and Canada are sharing it, which could produce a whole entire 2 episodes of Stranger Things, which is exciting. But I don't know. It sounds truly like a Mercury in retrograde operation. Like they didn't define the things that they were going to do. They also haven't told people who are getting charged, like what they're being charged for or what the rules are. Like
that seems wrong.
And it's a real about face. Like Netflix really prided itself on being like the cool guys. They mm-hmm. had a tweet from like the Netflix account, like in support of that TV show Love, which it should be noted is explicitly the type of show Netflix will no longer be making. But they tweeted, Love is sharing a password to promote that show. So
I think. Okay, so social media is not going to be in line with what business strategy is for the company. So I get that they were like, oh, you know, you share. So like lean into the social side of it. I do think it's horrible that they're not telling people what they're like. You could very easily set up an alert to say like, hey, someone outside of your household, which I'm guessing they're basing off of internet.
Like IP like address?
You're not on the same Wi-Fi. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so someone from outside your network is using it. $2 extra. Here's why they should do that immediately. Stick to that plan. If you have to charge more, if you have to make it so that people, I'll hit my baby cousin up and be like, I need $2 so you can keep running this account. But also, if I can then use my, what do you call that thing when you're trying to search secretly in different countries?
VPN.
Yes. Can I use my VPN? Because I want to get the shows that are available in London, but not here. Okay. I want all access Netflix. That used to be back in 2014 before they started caring about VPNs. That was everything. You want to get me back? I'll pay $5 extra, or I'll say it right here, Netflix. $5 extra if I can use my VPN on your service. It totally makes sense. $5 is not going to crush me. It'll give access to other people. I don't know how many people have my Netflix password. Please keep using it. I have no problem with it. People have to share. There's too many streaming services, and I think you run the risk potentially of losing a lot more customers long term if you don't figure out an easily affordable situation than just by like forcing people to buy the subscription. Because let's be real, Netflix, most of your prestige shows are over. You've ended them, and the shows that people wanted you to invest in, you canceled after 2 seasons. So now you're in this weird place of every major studio has their own production, like their own streaming service. So it doesn't make sense for them to come to Netflix anymore unless their streaming service is very low in the bucket and they're hoping to get more eyes on their property. Most people are just going to go to their HBOs, your Disney Pluses, whatever. They have to create more distinct content. And I don't know if you guys heard the other day, they called, The Irishman a vanity project. They called The Irishman a vanity project, which someone should slap you. Okay, this man is single-handedly out here trying to save film, okay?
Talk about this on the show, Joel. Did you know that movie cost $175 million?
Yes, I did. It was stupid expensive. If you make an 80-year-old look like an 18-year-old, it's going to cost money, okay? It's excessively expensive. But it's Martin Scorsese, again, the man actively trying to preserve film. And on top of that, like, that was a conversation for forever. We talked about The Irishman much longer than we talk about most shows or movies that come out. I want to say at least 3 months, people being like, oh, guy, you look like a stiff 80-year-old trying to walk in an 18-year-old's face. It's weird. People talked about, you know, then once there was like a critical analysis of, you know, is this film actively engaging with Scorsese's former picks, or is this more of an older guy looking back on his own individual life? And there's just so many discussions around. I think that's exactly the kind of content Netflix should be courting, because if you're not advertising, so you don't have to worry about advertisers. You've already got a very basic rate system in there where children can go to one place and there's all the other shows on another spot. So you don't have to worry about censoring yourself. You're not held responsible to anyone but Netflix. It seems cowardly to me to react so intensely to what I think it should have been planned for. You guys got a lot of viewers when we were in a pandemic because children were at home and we cannot directly engage with that. Children is what I would say. You can't directly engage with children. They need TV. Please distract them. But of course, once people start going outside, you know, that's going to fall off. I think it's such a weird gut reaction to say we're tossing out all of these incredible writers that we hired and brought in to bring in these new audiences. I mean, they just held like a Golden Ball, which was a celebration of Asian American representation in America. And half the people that are part of that team got canned. So I don't know. I think a knee-jerk reaction shows fear. And I think it also shows that you don't have a great plan in place. The only thing left on Netflix that I really want to watch is
Heartstoppers.
I will watch that girl. But that girl is on Nickelodeon.
It's on Nickelodeon too. Sorry.
And Nickelodeon has an app I can check out. Okay, they got Paramount. It's right there. Plenty of stuff to watch. But also, please go watch That Girl Lele. But also, you know, they've got Heartstoppers as a Netflix project. That's really great. It's queer, YA romance. It's done beautifully. I love it. Sex Education is great. And then the last season of Stranger Things. We're running low on content, Netflix. You got to get some great shows, because Emily in Paris isn't going to keep... No one's paying for TLC. That's just in a package. That just comes with a bunch of other channels and you're like, I'll watch it if I have time. They have to invest in artists because it's what the big studios aren't doing. The big studios are investing in major properties that are going to continue to bring people back to theaters, because that's what people want to spend. If you have to spend money for a ticket, you want a big production like a Top Gun, like any of your Marvel movies. I think for Netflix to not invest in artists and really individual unique projects is going to be a terrible move. I can't see it working.
Yeah, the people at the top making these decisions are beholden to Wall Street and people who write about Wall Street and the investors and that community. The people who are in the middle and below are beholden to customers. And like you see that split with like that there are customer representatives who say that they're confused about what the hell they're supposed to tell subscribers who call in and ask like, OK, so what is the policy? They're also like doing things that are going to get them in trouble with consumer protection agencies and other countries, not in America, because America doesn't have any functional consumer protections. But, you know, they're discriminating against users arbitrarily because they're just choosing to enforce this policy in some places and not others. But it's also the like an underrated cause of stress in the modern world is that we created these companies with like hundreds of billions of dollars of like Wall Street valuations, and they serve, you know, billions of people around the world, and they are not staffed to do that. And so anytime something comes up, like with Facebook causing genocides in other countries, or with Netflix having to have a customer-facing process for like policing how people use their products, they are completely at a loss. They're completely not equipped to do that sort of thing. And yeah, there's just so much bloat in terms of like what companies aim to do and what companies actually functionally do with technology. Mm-hmm. And then their actual ability to like rein that in when there are problems. And there are going to be problems because your customer base needs to be growing every single 3 months, quarter over quarter, or people start getting fired and, you know, Wall Street.
We have to get off of this train. I hate this. I really do. I don't understand why a business can't just be sufficient.
Yeah.
The idea that it's like, oh, we haven't tripled our growth. Oh, our former customers are still here. We're still making money. We can pay our staff and the lights are on. I don't see the issue. And I don't see. And the other thing is they don't want to invest in people, but robots cannot solve these kinds of problems. Like you can't. Or at least not yet, be like, oh, hey, there's a lot of genocide created by our content. Send out the robot masses to start figuring out why that is and build us a solution. That's going to take a team of highly educated and qualified people to do, and they're going to cost money. And I think what we're seeing a lot of is those people being sort of way overtaxed. Like I have a friend at Netflix who's the only person left on her team. And at least from our preliminary conversations a few weeks ago, none of the workload has left.
Mm-hmm.
So lose a team of five and still be expected to produce anywhere near the same kind of content? You just can't. So I don't know. Corporations are very exhausting in their desire to make money. And I wish we had more spaces that had a desire to just be enough. Just be like, there's enough money, our staff is good, our product is good, and that is sufficient.
We like what we do, and we're going to keep doing that at a high level, and it doesn't matter if we grow over, like, and more people come in, or, like, slightly fewer people come in, because we like what we do. Like,
and are still making money. Sustainable. But this is so interesting, because it totally mirrors the first conversation we had about inflation, where it's like, something bad is happening and now we're going to make it the individual's fault, right? Like it's our problem, where it's really a systemic problem that needs to be solved, but that's too hard. So instead of doing that, we'll just tax the, you know, we'll just put it on the individuals and the users. And it's what needs to happen is something needs to change with the way that we're watching TV, because it's ridiculous. As a person who loves her couch and her TV, I can't even turn on my TV anymore. I feel like my husband just comes in and he's like, this is the remote we use now. It's this week's remote and it goes to this machine. And this is how you get these three things. And I'm like, okay. And like, that shouldn't be. I'm a smart enough person to turn on my television and get my shows. But for some reason, I can't. You know what I mean?
I do. There are a lot of options, and I think it's very interesting, especially when you compare it to, like, I always try to compare the evolution of television to the evolution of film, because I think they're very comparable. You know, when film was initially sort of getting off of the ground, you had a lot of production companies also be movie houses, right? So they were taking their own films that they produced and releasing them in their own theaters and becoming like huge off of that money, because you don't have to pay to be in somebody's movie house. You own it. And I think it's interesting to watch the same thing happen with television now, where all these production companies have their own streaming services that don't necessarily need to do the numbers of a broadcast production. I mean, because typically you were trying to make a show that was popular enough to get enough advertisers to continue to fund that network. But now these networks are sort of pinched off budgets from larger production companies. And so budgets are much smaller, but what you're getting is a ton of shows, maybe an eighth of which are quality. Not to say that there aren't more good shows that you just might like, but if we're talking like actual quality television coming out of the golden age of TV, we are not anywhere near producing the number of golden age television shows that we were. And there's ups and downs to that. On the upside, so many writers are employed right now, and I think that's a really beautiful thing. But if you listen to the writing community, the television writing community specifically, they're talking about how the experience you used to get when you were doing 22 episodes a season and you would come on set and you would learn how to produce and how to show run. It's an integral part to moving on from being a writer to being a like head of production or a showrunner. And now, you know, you get maybe what, 10 episodes a season, sometimes 8. You're coming on set less. Some of that is COVID protocols. But I think, you know, TV is in such an interesting place, and I'm interested to see how we're going to pull up from that. I think HBO Max is doing a really great job of providing really intelligent, thoughtful content that is directly for a super niche audience, which I think is probably going to be the wave of the future, as we've seen with like YouTube and stuff. It's niche audience creation is what has become sustainable, and then you'll have your giant big box office stuff that sort of keeps everybody afloat.
Right.
I don't know, Emily, does that ring true with your experience as a writer?
Oh, absolutely. I was just thinking about, I was on set for, I've been working since March, and I was on set for the first time this week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
And because that's because it was my episode, and so I was allowed to come on because of COVID protocols. But then also, like, and it's part of the reason I keep my hair pink is that, like, I always have crazy hair colors. I am wearing a mask the entire time. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to meet everybody. Nobody knows who I am. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be the lady with the crazy hair so that you can always find me and we can talk about whatever. And yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you want to learn how to show run and everything. And it's, yeah, it's just a really totally. And yeah, our seasons are shorter and it's a, you know, it's fine. It's good, but it's not the environment. And honestly, craft services. Oy, oy, oy. That's taken a real nosedive.
Ugh.
So, yeah, I
what
hear
a dream
tales
that used
of your
fully stocked tables as far as the eye could see. Just delicious treats.
I want good mac and cheese so bad, and I never get it. Anyway.
All the dream snacks. Oh, what a problem.
Have you tried the sweet pink mac and cheese from a couple years ago? Now that is Kraft mac and cheese for Valentine's Day.
Wait, what? Is that real?
Please never call it sweet pink. What? Sweet pink mac and cheese. Where were the memes? A thousand memes should have been born of this product.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was real and not just like a made up thing, but we covered it. It looked disgusting.
Sounds foul.
Yeah. Well, is all hope lost? Is it possible to make a good TV show anymore, say, in the Star Wars universe? Joelle,
hi.
Whenever we have you on, it's always fun for us to just check in with a project you feel pretty passionately about. And right now, that sounds like that is the new Obi-Wan show.
Actually, I'm going to drop two dimes on you guys. I'm going to make it so quick. Here we go. The first one is unexpected. Go to your HBO Go, load that bitch up, and then go click Julia. Okay, if she don't pop up in your main screen, there's a little search on the left. Just type J-U-L-I-A. It is a show about Julia Childs. It's amazing. It is a feel-good show. No one is talking. It's Ted Lasso's level of just brightening up your whole damn day. Okay, imagine Julia Childs in her 50s. She's just gotten done exploring the world with her husband, trying to do good for the United States post-World War II. And now they're in Boston and they're bored. And she gets the brilliant idea to launch her own television show where she cooks and she teaches Americans how to fall back in love with food, because it's the 50s and we've moved on to like very processed food. Again, post-World War II, they're eating Wonder Bread and like frozen dinners and stuff. And Julia says, no, we're going to do fancy French cooking and I'm going to show you that you can do it in your own home with stuff you can buy at your local grocery store, and it's going to make you feel uplifted. The show is not even about cooking, which I would have loved, but it's a show about four women trying to make a television show and micromanaging the men in their lives to get out of their way so they can work. It is sensational. Guys, most of the cast is over 50, which makes my heart sing. I really feel like we don't give people that are, you know, I don't know, above 30 any kind of credit or time on television in a way that is meaningful, especially when we're talking about slice of lifestyle shows. It's usually like, Mr. President, the world is ending, or like, I'm Jack Bauer, I'm going to shoot some people. Okay, fine. This is so a husband and wife trying to make something work. It's like heartwarming and it's beautiful. But on top of all of that, there are three Black women who write for the show. They turned one of Julia's producers, who was a white woman and the only woman in the department, into a Black woman. Now, I have all kinds of feelings about, you know, recasting real life characters as people of color. Sometimes it doesn't work out so good. You know, you can look at the space movie with the Black mathematicians. My gosh, I can't remember what it's called. It was great.
Hidden Figures.
Thank you. But in Hidden Figures, when they added a white guy to help white audiences understand what was going on and make NASA look less racist, It was bananas and crazy. Here, it's like, what would it have been like to be an actual Black woman in television production? And it has nothing to do with civil rights. Bless it. It's so good. It's so damn good. You have to check out Julia. It's on HBO Max. Okay. Switching gears. Obi-Wan Kenobi is out. There are three episodes. They dropped two episodes on its premiere Friday while Star Wars Celebration was happening. Then they dropped another episode. It comes out Wednesdays.
Sorry, real quick, just how many people get cut in half in Julia?
Luckily, no one gets cut. Not even a stabbing. It's so delightful. When I say feel good, I really mean it. It's so uplifting.
All right, no, that's just how I rate all my shows. So I will be asking that on all show
zero
reviews.
Sliced men.
No people get cut in half. Okay, now we're moving on to the second one. What's this one?
Obi-Wan Kenobi is so good. Okay. I really like Clone Wars, the animated series. If you haven't watched it, but you have seen the prequels, here's what you need to know. The prequels were what they were, okay? They were coming out of time. The whole special effects they were trying to use were new and, you know, breaking ground as Star Wars tries to do every time it comes up to bat. It's a beautiful try. Some things landed, some things didn't. Some performances were great, some were not. It's mixed and I get it. Clone Wars said, I love Star Wars so much. Dave Filoni is the showrunner for that. I'm going to make all of that mess make sense. And then he did it in 8 seasons. He made you care about Anakin Skywalker in a way the movies could never have hoped to have touched. They show perfectly the transformation of a hopeful kid who wants to learn to protect people, you know, because he was enslaved. And he's like, I don't know how to help everyone around me. I'm impossibly at odds against the universe. And so we're going to give you some power and some training. And how does that go wrong? How does that kid full of hope and aspiration turn bad? It's a perfect sell. It's so good. They introduce so many dope characters who are kind of in the background of the movie and make them full-fledged creatures who have lived full lives. And you just care so damn much. Obi-Wan Kenobi does that in a completely different way. And so instead of expanding the universe and really bringing a lot of richness and clarity, Obi-Wan says, what if the hero you've known all along takes a horrible turn? In the prequels, he's like, I don't know, he's new at everything, but he's
that
coming
dude.
To himself. Yes, right. he's like
one of
the big brother.
Yeah, and he's like a good Jedi. He's like a very talented, skilled Jedi, big brother.
Yes. And then the originals, he's a teacher and wise, and he has all these lessons learned.
Old Ben Kenobi from down the street?
Exactly. In the middle of all of that, he's lost his father figures, the only family he's ever known, the brother he kind of raised as a son, the all of his political allies. So when we come into the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, that's where he is. He's in between the prequels and the originals, having lost everything. He's got PTSD. He hasn't been a Jedi for 10 years. He wants no one to know he is. He's in hiding. He's trying to protect baby Luke. That's where the show opens. And from there, it takes you down a twisted road of like, the main song in the final prequel movie, it's called Duel of the Fates. In Duel of the Fates, which plays when Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan's master, dies, it also has a lot to do with how Anakin is raised. And this whole series is a duel of the fates. The whole series is a duel of the fates. It's Obi-Wan versus Anakin turn to Darth Vader? And how do you bring balance back to the Force when you've lost everything? Guys, it's so good. Deborah Chow directs all of it, and I love her so much. She's so talented and brilliant, and she directs every episode of the series, which is the first Disney Plus series to do that, have a single director. It's a method I really, really love when television gets to do that, have one director, because I think that solo vision brings a lot of clarity moment to moment.
Pun intended, you know, no one's trying on solo to put, vision. Yep.
Obviously. Yep. No one's trying to leave their fingerprints on it in a unique way. It's a singular voice. If you haven't seen The Nick, you should. Also takes that same approach. I just love it. It's so good. And you don't have to be a Star Wars obsessive to find it enjoyable.
Two questions.
I don't want to tell anymore because it's okay. Spoilers.
Just two questions.
So good.
Okay. One, do they address something that's always stuck out to me as a little bit weird?
Uh-huh.
That they're trying to lay low. They're trying to keep Luke off Darth Vader's radar. The Vader Raider, as it's called in my expanded universe.
Uh-huh.
And he keeps his name Kenobi. He doesn't change his last name.
They don't, but you do in the first couple of episodes get the idea that it's an emergency break. You know what I mean? Like,
they also don't change Luke's last name.
They don't. They let him be a Skywalker, but he's staying with.
I guess it's a big universe, right? It's a big galaxy.
Well, not only is it a big universe, but Darth Vader, I think, has difficulty going back to Tatooine. I don't think he wants to be in a place where his mother died. And so, yeah. So, and he's with, you know, Uncle Ben. So he could find him if he wanted to, but I think he's not trying to go back there.
Okay, second, and same question I had on Julia. Does anybody get cut in half?
Someone does get cut in half.
All right.
It's amazing. You will enjoy it.
I'm in. That was a great review. Those were two great reviews. I was looking for something to watch.
Jack, do you have a movie or a TV show where there's like record numbers of people getting cut in half?
I don't off the top of my head. I would have to get my spreadsheet out and it might crash my computer. It's a long ongoing documentation. I do like Friday the 13th. I will sometimes, when things are especially bleak, and this did happen when Mercury was in retrograde, I will just watch one of those kill compilations of Friday the 13th kills.
Oh, not even the movie, just
just the kill comp.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah,
that's very bad.
Yeah,
that means something bad.
Sick. Yeah, no, it's not good. I have a broken, sad part of me, and that
no.
And it feeds on that. It's usually like late at night. In like a room by myself after I put the kids to bed, and I'm just like, give it to me.
Kids There's are asleep, really time for in, murder.
Some oh good ones God. In Friday the 13th, 6th, that I just watched. One guy gets folded in half.
Oh, no.
Which is kind of like cool. That. No, I don't like it either. I don't like it at all. But yeah, those were my favorite movies when I was like 8, and there's still a part of me that's like, let's check those out again.
So it's a little Classics. Bit comforting. You're like, oh.
Yeah, it is
same
my
old
dark,
fold in half. Yeah.
Shitty 80s American child comfort food, which appropriate. Well, Emily, as always, it is such a pleasure having you on Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
Thank you. It was so much fun to be on here. I am on Instagram and Twitter at EmilyMCWinter. It's Emily McWinter. Made it a long time ago. My middle name's McKenna. I messed it up. But so it's a stupid handle, Emily McWinter. My website is emilywintercomedy.com. And you can get my book, One Day Smarter, wherever you get books. It's good.
Could also be Emily MC Winter. Like you are Mr. Freeze style rapper or, you know.
Right.
Just, yeah.
That's could not be further from my self. But we'll go with it. Yeah. I could never. I was paying a drum teacher when I was in college to teach me how to play the drums, and he said, "I can't do this anymore because you have no rhythm." So
yeah,
there's no way. But yeah,
and he meant just life in general, right? He was like, he just walked off muttering into the ocean,
just walked into the lake, into Lake Mendota in Wisconsin,
quietly. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
So I feel like I've just been doing long form stuff. I like have not been on Twitter in the last couple weeks, but there is a comedy album that I super loved that just came out. It's Ophira Eisenberg's Plant-Based Jokes, which is so funny about having kids, which I do not, but I still found it very funny. It's a great album. And I just finished a good book called Bullet Train that I loved about bumbling sort of incompetent criminals on a train in Tokyo.
And there's a movie coming out.
Yes, that, they're going to white it up, baby.
Okay.
I think Brad Pitt's in it as a bumbling young Japanese guy, which makes no sense. Right.
All right. Joelle, always so wonderful having you as guest co-host. Where can people find you? And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueUE. A tweet. Also, please check out Comic-Con Metapod. We have had so many fun guests on the show. Kevin Bacon's going to be on our next show, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to resist playing 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, but it'll be a fun show. A lot of other great people have been on. Donald Faison and Seth Green were on. We had Giancarlo Esposito come through. I'm missing some, but just go check it out. It's a whole lot
of
fun.
Kevin Bacon.
I know, right? I'm nervous and excited, a little sweaty. A tweet I'm enjoying. Kathy Najimy, the great, you know her from Hocus Pocus, tweeted at Kim Cattrall, sending you all the love and support in the world today. One of the best, most authentic humans in the business and maybe the world. Dinner soon, my love. And if you're not caught up on the Sex and the City gossip, it may mean nothing to you. But the fact that Kathy is out here saying, no, SJP, I'm standing by Kim. It just delights my soul. I love old lady drama. That's rude. I love mature. That sounds like a porn category. Oh, gosh. How do I say this?
Adult women.
I love distinguished women and their drama. It really uplifts me. It makes me feel just full of light. So shout out to Kathy and Jimmy for just supporting her gal.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweets I've been enjoying. Have I been enjoying any tweets? at daughter_ion tweeted, is a hot dog a sandwich, in quotes. And then follow up, do you make the people in your life happy? Which,
oh,
harsh.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. People who are too obsessed with that question probably need to take a long look in the mirror. And then Jomi Adeniran tweeted, I'm crying. And then it's a meme, probably not original, but it made me laugh. And it reminded me of what we were talking about today. It's the screen caps from the original Star Wars. It's Darth Vader saying, you fools, did anyone see the droids who got away with the Death Star plans? And then his sidekick, who I think he ends up force choking, saying, my lord, it seems to have been a blue R2 unit and an effete protocol droid. And then Darth Vader says, oh, word, LMFAO, those are my boys. Which is a continuity problem. that would have been better if he just said that, because he knows R2. He knows C-3PO.
He never sees them take the plans. I digress.
Yeah, I don't know. Blue R2 unit, Effete protocol droid. But I guess, again, we'll just go with
it. He did build them. He did.
It's a large universe. he could be like, huh. But also, they wrote that before they had any idea that there was going to be a sequel. So you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, do you have a song that you think people might enjoy?
I do, as Miles and I share an affinity for Hiatus Coyote. I wanted to shout out one of their lesser known projects. This is a track called Sphinx Gate, / The World It Softly Lulls. You really get to hear Napalm, the lead singer, stretch out her vocals, and there's a really cool switch up, maybe a third of the way through the song, where it goes from this chill jazz lounge type of vibe to a very neo soul R&B, a little more up tempo, but it's a real vibe. So you can check this out in the footnotes. That's Hiatus Coyote, Sphinx Gate, The World It Softly Lulls.
the real move to recommend Hiatus Coyote when Miles is out. That's like power move. I love it. Well, go listen to that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And hey, we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.